Good evening. This is Pastor Stolz, and welcome to our final Advent service. The scripture lessons that I will be reading in a moment are as follows. Malachi 3, 1 to 6. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 to 5. St. Luke 1, 39 to 56. The sermon text, Romans 1, 1 to 7. The theme, Christmas means good news. So far. And we begin in the name of the Father who has made us, the Son who has redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit who has sanctified us. In the name of the triune God, we gather for worship. We are here, O God, for many reasons, but all of us seek your forgiveness and mercy. Forgive wherever we have done wrong, O Lord, and give unto us the forgiving joy of your salvation, so that we may share your love with others as you have shared it with us. And let us join in as we confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Old Testament reading, Malachi 3, verses 1 to 6. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom he seeks shall suddenly come to his temple, even as the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of thy coming? Who shall stand when he shall appear? For he is like a refiner's fire, a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you at judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wage, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear me not, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. So far. The Epistle, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 5. Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yes, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So far. The Gospel, St. Luke chapter 1, 39-56. And Mary arose and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out loud with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the indignation of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He that hath holden his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and then returned to her own house. So far. My sermon text, Romans 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So far. Once again, the sermon theme is Christmas means good news. As we know, the days leading up to Christmas are filled with much good news. Mailboxes are stuffed with cards and letters that express warm and friendly greetings. There are invitations to holiday open houses, parties, festive church and school programs. Long-distance phone calls put us in touch with loved ones and friends who live far away. Television reports are filled with stories about various organizations extending helping hands to the poor, the needy, the homeless, and those who have suffered some type of tragic loss. As a matter of fact, there is so much good news this time of the year that it may be hard for us to see the difference between ordinary good news and the truly good news of Christmas. This good news has to do with much more than parties and cards and phone calls and family reunions. This good news is about God and His Son, and all the blessings that come to all who believe in Him. But there are always some people who are about, well, they're kind of surprised to learn that God is concerned about being the bearer of good news. For some reason, when they think of God, they think of bad news. They think of Him as a Scrooge who is determined to rob life of every joy and pleasure. They imagine God to be an angry Puritan preacher, always pointing a condemning finger. But this characterization of God is not true. Although God will judge and condemn when He must, Psalm 86 declares, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Well, this God of love and faithfulness knows all about good news. Why? Because He is the original author. The first and the best good news belongs to Him. And that is why St. Paul speaks of the gospel, the good news, as something God promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding His Son. The gospel of God, the good news that He authors, is designed for people who live under the bad news of sin. You see, sin is bad news. Throughout the book of Romans, Paul talks about the kind of bad news that sin brings to people like us. You see, sin is why people will perish and be judged by God. The real bad news is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And even more bad news is that sin leads to death because the wages of sin is death. Yes, sin means bad news for each and every one of us. And there is absolutely nothing we can do about it, because none of us can transform our sinful lives the way city streets are transformed at Christmas. All it takes to change a dull, drab street, the addition of some lights and ornaments. Suddenly, the glitter and the sparkle make everything look new, everything look clean and fresh. But even our best efforts fail miserably as we try to do something about the bad news of sin. As the prophet Isaiah declares, "All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags." And it is in this situation of bad news that the good news of God breaks into our lives. Long, long ago, God knew that we could do nothing to help ourselves. Long, long ago, God was determined to bring good news to sinners like us. This was a message of the Old Testament prophets. God announced, long before the first Christmas, that he was sending his Son to bring good news to sinners. The prophet Isaiah tells us, a virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew tells us that this child, this Jesus, will save people from their sins. This is God's good news. It doesn't come out of Hollywood. It's not the fancy dreaming of some great storyteller. It's not like the legend and the myth of Santa Claus. Jesus Christ is the good news from God to us. Good news prophesied in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament. You see, the good news of Christmas is all about the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to save us from our sins. Christmas celebrates his birthday, but it is no easy task to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on him during this holy season. There is so much competing for our attention. There's all the rushing around to buy gifts before the last store closes on Christmas Eve. There are all the presents to wrap. There are the trips to plan, houses to clean and decorate. There are the elaborate dinner parties to prepare, those last few Christmas cards to mail. And before we know it, the child whose birth we celebrate lies hidden under all the busyness of the season. And that's not where he belongs. Although once an infant, God's son is not to be treated merely as a newborn baby. He is not to be left alone in the nursery while grown-ups gather in the family room to carry out their own kind of celebrating. God's Son, Jesus Christ, belongs in the middle of our celebration. So if the rush of Christmas season leaves us no time to contemplate the Christ child, then we'd better slow down. We better re-examine what we're doing and why we're doing it. Now more than ever, we need our worship, our family, our personal devotions to keep our eyes and our hearts fixed on the one whose birth we are about to celebrate. We know at first glance this child looks no different from any of us as to his human nature. He was a descendant of King David. But this human child was also divine, Almighty God in human flesh. Just think about that. Almighty God in human flesh. The undeniable proof is his resurrection from the dead. In the normal course of life, children are born, they grow up, they die, and they are buried. And this child also grew up and died, and he was buried. But he didn't stay buried, because he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. He conquered death with a resurrection victory. Why? Because he was more than human. He was divine. He was God in human flesh. The good news is that this resurrection triumph, this birth, this life to death, was all on our behalf. This is how the child lived up to his name, Jesus, which means Savior. This is how the Christ child saved us from our sins. He came to be our substitute. He didn't come to show us how we could camouflage our sinful lives by adding a little moral tinsel and trimming. This child was born so that he would destroy the bad news of sin. This is why St. Paul writes that Jesus was delivered over for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. His death did away with our sins, and his resurrection means that we have been put right with God. We don't have to worry anymore about the bad news of sin, about guilt. We don't have to worry about the bad news of death, because in Jesus Christ there is the good news of forgiveness and eternal life. Christmas brings us this good news. We Christians can greet one another with more than a wish for happy holidays. We Christians can greet one another with something besides what the card says, season's greetings, whatever that means. We Christians can greet with one another with a blessing that goes far beyond Merry Christmas. We Christians can say with St. Paul, grace and peace to you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is my wish for you this season. Amen. We confess our faith according to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And what does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers, and will at the last day raise up me and all the dead and give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. We continue with the Advent Litany. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us, that thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, receive our prayer. Thou who wast silent before thine accusers, open our lips to speak your praise, and help us to bear witness to thee, our Lord and Redeemer. Thou who did humble thyself, teach us true humility. Thou who did willingly bear the cross, help us to accept whatever cross may be placed upon us. And thou who did pray, Abba Father, teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, thou who didst say, I am the Son of God, hallowed be thy name. Thou who didst say, I am a king, thy kingdom come. Thou who did pray, not my will, but thine be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thou who did hunger and thirst, give us this day our daily bread. Thou who did ask forgiveness for thine enemies, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Thou who wast tempted in the wilderness, lead us not into temptation. Thou who did command thy soul into thy hands of the Father, deliver us from evil. Thou who wast crowned with thorns, thine is the kingdom. Thou who did sink into the arms of death, and on the third day rise again, thine is the power. And thou who did redeem us from sin, death, the devil, and hell, thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.